Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avantcard. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cent. Time to look at some stories from other parts of the world. Jonathan De Burka Butler joins us after a relaxing 2 weeks off.
Relatively relaxing, yes.
As well as can be expected. Right, we're going to go to the border between Peru and Venezuela. Migrants are flocking to the border.
Yeah, so as we know, there's desperate stuff going on in Venezuela at the moment. Maduro seems to be not willing to go anywhere and not willing to compromise. It looks like sanctions are being placed on him, or at least countries are making it very difficult for Venezuelans to trade in the only commodity that they have, which is oil. And so there's no way for them to buy food, and they have none, and the situation is getting increasingly different. At this point, since 2014, I think it's nearly 2.5 million people, so something like 6 or 7% of the population of the country have actually left the country and are going to various places such as Brazil, Colombia mainly, it should be said. So there's about between 800,000 and a million Venezuelans who've gone into Colombia in the last number of years. And the Colombians are saying like they can't cope. And so are the other countries that are further south of them, which include Ecuador and Peru. And basically, Peru has decided that it's now going to change the manner in which people can access its borders. Okay, so that Venezuelans who are going there will now need to carry passports with them. They won't get in with just identification cards anymore. Right. Yeah. So that measure was being brought in, I think, last Saturday. And so hence the rush to get from either Colombia, which borders Peru, or through Ecuador, which is further to the coast and so therefore further to Lima. So you could get into Peru directly through Colombia, sort of through a northeast passage, but the northwest is easier to get down the coast to Lima then subsequently, if that makes sense.
Since 2014 it's been couple of million people have left.
Nearly 2.5 million we're talking about at the moment. And a lot of them are going to Peru because they figured that the economy of Peru is actually doing very well. And so they figure they might find it easier to get jobs there.
Yeah, okay. Oh, so they want to get into Peru and stay in Peru
and
rather than
Peru.
Pass through.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, some, you know, there's some you know, you get some anecdotal evidence of people trying to get all the way down to Argentina as well. Yeah. But Peru seems to be a place for them to, seems to be destination number one for many of them at the moment.
But they say if they can't get into Peru, if they're going to Colombia or wherever, we're looking at sort of refugee camp type
It's already that scenario. That's happening in Brazil and in the northern state of Brazil, very poor northern state. Can't remember the name of it now. But there's been attacks on refugee camps there already. And there was the state government actually called on a local court to shut down the border there, and they went with it. So the border of Brazil was closed down for a couple of days, but the Brazilian Supreme Court overturned that. But there's been attacks and refugee camps have been burnt and knocked down.
Yeah. Right. Kosovo, Serbia, we're going to now, though which bit is which, if this deal goes through. There's talk of a territory swap and the US won't stand in the way of this.
Yeah, so this is the big news, that there's been talk of a territory swap. I think the idea originally came from Serbia, who I suppose would have to be the instigators of this because they're the ones who still don't recognise the existence of Kosovo. Okay, so Kosovo has been independent since 2008, recognised by I think it's 113 countries at the moment, but there's a few states for obvious reasons, such as Spain, Greece, various different countries like that have their own separatist issues.
Yes,
that never recognise these countries. Russia's another one. I think China's another one as well. But the US does recognise it. And there was an idea mooted from Serbia, which was that they would look into recognising Kosovo if they were able to swap territory. So Serbia said that they would give a little bit of southern Serbia over to Kosovo and that they would take a little bit of northern Kosovo back from Serbia. And the reason for that is because of the ethnic
the
ethnic makeup of the areas. So it's the US, this is John Bolton, who's the national security advisor for Trump. He basically said in a statement, I think he was visiting Europe last week, that he wouldn't stand in the way of this and that if they come up with some sort of a solution, it might be the way to move forward.
Yeah. More importantly, what do Kosovo and Serbia feel about this?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. I was actually looking for information on that on two strands. The politically, obviously, Serbia are suggesting it, so they're looking to try. But two of them are looking to try to get into the European Union, and the European Union have said we're not going to allow you in, either of you, until you sort this out.
Yes.
So they need to move that forward.
Okay.
So the Kosovars themselves have said we're not going to reject this idea anyway. They haven't rejected it yet. In terms of the people in the areas, I have no idea. I haven't found any material on that, unfortunately.
So the European Union's position is kind of neutral, as long as it doesn't lead to anything
I think
ugly.
Angela Merkel is against it and would like to see the international bodies having some sort of input on this, rather than Serbia and Kosovo going off themselves and having, you know, meetings on their own without consulting the international community.
Yeah. Right, Vietnam we're going to go to next. And this is a story about a singer who had a subversive concert. Now, what does subversive mean in Vietnam?
Yeah, I suppose subversive concert in this context is he was singing songs in a cafe. I mean, I think there was only about 50 or 60 people in this cafe. And it was, the title of the show was Memory of Saigon, but the songs were from before the 1975 Communist Revolution, and none of them were political, but they were love songs, sort of, I don't know, saloon songs or whatever you want to call them, that this particular singer and activist, it should be said, Nguyen Tin, was singing. And he's actually relatively well known in Vietnam and in the international community, I suppose, as a bit of a champion of human rights. We've spoken about a woman by the name of Mother Mushroom, who's currently in prison for being a blogger. And I think she's on hunger strike at the moment, and he has campaigned for her before. So while immediately it looks like, oh, it's very tough, the authorities going in and breaking up a concert, I suppose they, from their point of view, if you want to argue their case, he has form in upsetting the government, if you know what I mean. The police and ununiformed guards, actually walked into the cafe and they started arresting people. Fight broke out. They arrested about four people, took them away and beat them up quite severely. So Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International are both on this particular case, and they're looking for an investigation into how this happened.
Yeah. Right, Equatorial Guinea we go to next, and MPs aren't allowed to travel abroad now.
Yeah, MPs as well as civil servants are not allowed to travel abroad unless they are given permission by the Vice President, who happens to be Teodorin Nguema Obiang, who is the son of the President, President Obiang, who's been there for 39 years at this stage. Now, Equatorial Guinea is not one of the biggest, it's not a big country at all. There's only about 1.2 million people living in it, but it's quite rich in oil.
I'll correct you there. The Obiangs are quite rich.
Well, absolutely. And what I was going to say is that the profit off that is not particularly evenly distributed, shall we say. Vincent Brown would have a great time there. But anyway, the reason for this, that the permission needs to be sought, is that there was allegedly a coup in this country at the end of last year. Now, what's interesting about this coup is that it happened around about the same time that the French gave Mr. Obiang Jr. a 3-year prison sentence for various different things, such as money laundering and misappropriation of public funds. And whether that particular coup happened or not is questionable, given that the openness of the media in that particular part of the world wouldn't be noted.
But is there any evidence or any indications as to why they'd be nervous, particularly about MPs?
Well, they think that the people who were involved, or at least the people that were arrested for involvement in this particular coup, had visited Europe in 2017, and they got these mad ideas about democracy and the like, and came back to Equatorial Guinea and decided to stage this coup. So they don't want people coming here and getting ideas. Okay for him, of course, for the Vice President to come to Paris. He did have a large mansion in Paris, I believe, up until recently. But for anybody else, it's not okay.
Right, okay. DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo, we're going to next. And this is a story about running for the presidency, or being allowed to run for the presidency.
Yeah, so we actually reported when this man was released, Jean-Pierre Bemba, a couple of months ago, we actually reported on that. He had been sentenced to 10 years in prison by the International Criminal Court. And then they reversed their decision, basically. So he went back to the it was expected that he would go back to the Democratic Republic of the Congo and would run as a candidate for president. And he was seen as being one of the main rivals to, at the time, Joseph Kabila. Now, Kabila has decided that he's not going to run. He's the current president. He's been there for 17 years. Mm-hmm. He's decided he's not going to run, but he's put a nominee, shall we say, in place. A touch of the Vladimir Putin's about it, if you like. So this guy, Jean-Pierre Bemba, in a recent opinion poll, it was thought that he was going to get 17% in the first round, which mightn't sound significant to us, but given that there's 25 candidates, or there were up until last week, 25 candidates in this election race, 17% is quite significant.
Yeah.
And would be in race had he been allowed. However, he has been denied the chance to run for the presidency by the Electoral Commission. And so it looks like, unless he wins his appeal, which we'll find out about in September, he won't be able to run. Yeah. That could cause problems.
Yeah, violent problems.
Very violent problems. I mean, he ran against Kabila back in 2006, and when he didn't win, there was violence after that particular election. So we can expect more reports of more violence in what is already a very volatile part of the world.
Right. We're going to go to the US now. Alabama. Now, obviously, and this is a story about death row. There have been controversies in the past about methods of execution.
Yeah.
This is about nitrogen.
Yes. So Alabama has now decided that lawmakers decided in March that they were going to authorize an alternative execution method, and that is the use of nitrogen. Now, they haven't said when they're going to bring this in to force, and they haven't given a timeline yet, but they're the third state to do it. I think Mississippi and Oklahoma already have said yes to this. Now, this is on the basis of whether the triple drug system that they have, okay, doesn't work. And that's been quite controversial over the last number of years, because an awful lot of companies aren't giving the parts of the cocktails that are needed, and it's leading to very cruel and unusual deaths, many of which have been reported over the last 2 or 3 years. So what's interesting about this particular case is that 51 of 180 inmates on death row in Alabama have decided that they're going to take this nitrogen option. Okay, and what that meant was that there was a case which had been brought against 8 inmates on death row against the use of the triple drug system. Mm. Okay. That case has been now thrown out because the offer of taking this nitrogen, of death by nitrogen inhalation, was accepted by those inmates. So the case was thrown out, if you know what I mean, against the drug system, okay? So what's interesting about it is that some people think that some of the inmates went for it because it's more humane, but others think that they're going to actually try and delay their day with destiny, for want of a better way of putting it. Because challenges, although they've accepted the nitrogen gas as a way of being executed, Alabama didn't rule out the prisoners challenging the constitutionality of that particular method of execution. If that makes sense.
Yes, indeed. Yes, it does. Yeah, so it can be just a legal strategy more than anything
indeed.
Else. Indeed. Afraid we've run out of time, Jonathan. Always a pleasure to have you in. Jonathan DeBurka-Butler there. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.